songs. Well, last week we finished up Philippians. And so, after much consideration and praying, I think we're going to start the epistles to Timothy this morning. I think there's a lot of really important and good instruction for us here. And so this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the first chapter entirely, and then I'm going to do a little bit of an introductory about Timothy himself before we really get into this. But I just want to read this first chapter to get us kind of started here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, injurious. But I have obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory, be honor, and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And so, by way of introduction, I really want to talk first this morning about Timothy. And of course, Timothy, like a lot of people in the scripture, we don't know as much about him as we might like to. Everything that we know is found in Acts, chapter 16 and on, and in these letters that Paul wrote to him. And we're going to go to the book of Acts this morning. We'll spend probably a fair amount of our time here considering a little bit about Timothy, who he is, and so on. In the 16th chapter of Acts, we'll just start in the first verse here. This is speaking about Paul as it begins this chapter. It says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." So here's our main introduction to Timothy. Paul finds him, and some people say, well, we don't know whether he's from Derbe or Lystra. I guess it doesn't matter. He's from one of these towns. It seems like he might be from Derbe, but it's from one of these cities here. They were close together. And it says he was the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. So his mother was a believer. It says his father was a Greek. And then verse 2, this is Timothy's first testimony right here. It says, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. By the way, when I read this verse, I thought he was probably from Lystra because it indicates that he was well reported of in that city, but they're close together, so it might not be, but it's not important, I guess. Just something to think about. But the important thing was what it says at the beginning of this verse. It says, he was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. The other thing about Timothy that we don't know is we don't know his age. I couldn't find anywhere that we were given any indication of his age other than that he was young. Paul even mentions that in the letters, speaking to him about not letting anyone despise his youth. He must have been a young man. We don't know the age. But what we do know is that his mother was a believer, and we also know, by the way, that his grandmother was apparently a believer. And we won't turn there this morning because we'll get to it eventually, but in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And so, based on that part of the letter, so we know that his grandmother and then his mother were believers. And obviously Timothy was as well. And Timothy's testimony is that he was well reported of. We've had this thought before as we considered different ones in the scripture. And if you go back, I'm not going to turn back, but they're in the 7th chapter of Acts where they were seeking for ones to serve. They were looking for some that were well reported of. They had a good report of their lives. That they had a good testimony. We don't see Timothy in that particular group because this is the first time we see him. But nonetheless, he has the same testimony. And so down into verse 3 of this chapter 16 of Acts, it says, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So here's another thing. Obviously, Paul was impressed enough with Timothy's testimony and his faith and his, I'm going to use the word seriousness about the gospel, that he wanted to take him with him. Now, you might say, oh, well, Paul would just take anybody with him. Well, that's not true. Because Paul wouldn't take Mark with him after Mark abandoned him on the first trip. So Paul he was a little bit picky about who he took with him. So there must have been something about Timothy and about the report that he had there in that place that caused Paul to believe that this young man would be useful and helpful to him in his ministry. And so Paul wanted to take him with him. It says he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that area. And it says in verse 4, as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep. And if you remember in the previous chapter of this book, they had determined in a council there at Jerusalem that the things that were to be given to the churches. They delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. I'm going to stop here for a minute. I don't want to read this whole chapter. I encourage you, if you want to, you know, really kind of find out more about Timothy, read through these. I'm going to pick some verses out of this chapter and a few more chapters in Acts. But if you read through this section, I think really all the way at least into chapter 19 or 20, you'll find Timothy showing up in there from time to time in different ways. And we're just going to consider a few of those situations. So let's jump over to the 17th chapter. Like I said, I'm trying not to spend too much time in one place here, but we got a lot to cover. In the 17th chapter, Paul and Silas go to Berea. They move on. Should have probably backed up, shouldn't I? I'm going to get ahead of myself. Well, I'm not going to read too much of this. I encourage you to read it yourself, but Timotheus is with Paul and Silas here, and I just wanted to read something in verse. Man, it's hard to start a place in this chapter. Okay, verse 10, Acts 17, verse 10. It says, "The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached by of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still." So in order to keep Paul out of the fray, if you will, he went on his way from there, but he left two people there, Silas and Timotheus. Now, Silas is another person we see a lot of in the book of Acts with Paul. He certainly was one of those co-workers that Paul leaned on to be a help. And so here we see Silas and Timotheus staying behind to continue what was being started there in that place. And then verse 15, it says, they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens and received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed. They departed. So Paul goes on to Athens. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of this chapter 17, but I remind you, this is the chapter right below here where Paul speaks to them about the unknown God. But as he goes on to Athens, he sends commandment. He sends these men that brought him. He sends them back, say, to bring Silas and Timotheus, which reminded me of this, which is Paul obviously found need of having these men with him in his ministry. They were helpful to him. There's so much Paul often mentions throughout his writings, different ones that were helpful to him, and we'll see some of that as we go through this study. But there were different men, different people in the book of Acts. To be honest, as I was studying this, I thought, man, I should go back and do a study of the book of Acts. It seems like it kind of falls in here a lot. But there were different ones that were with Paul and that he needed. And so he calls for Silas and Timotheus to come to him again. I think I'm going to go on to the 18th chapter so I don't get stuck here too much either. Chapter 18 of this book of Acts. I'm just kind of going quickly through a few statements about Timothy to kind of see where he was with Paul. In the first verse of chapter 18, we find Paul going to Corinth. Okay, so it says he departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. I'm not going to read all that. Verse 4 says he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And verse 5, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. So up to this point, by the way, this is kind of a little bit of a side note, but up to this point, Paul has always gone into the synagogues first to preach to the Jews. And here he says, I will turn to the Gentiles. And of course, we know that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. God called him for that purpose. We'll see some of that a little bit later as well. I don't want to do any more in this chapter. I don't think I want to spend any more time in 18. So let's go on to 19. Like I said, I'm going to take you just briefly. I do encourage you to go back and read some of these chapters. There's a lot more interesting information than I'm giving to you here this morning. I'm trying to just give a brief thought about Timothy and as he began to go with Paul and minister. verse 21 of the chapter 19. It says, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And so now he sends Timotheus on to another place. The purpose of reading this and thinking about it is, again, to cause us to realize this young man, Timothy, Paul has taken him into the ministry with him and now is even sending him on. And we're going to see this as we study through this letter to Timothy as well and some other places. And we'll see these things. One more place in Acts in the 20th chapter. Verse 3 of chapter 20 of Acts, it says, and there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and other Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And so here again, name of some people, and I appreciate that these are written for us. Some of these people, you see them once, maybe twice mentioned in the scripture, but it's important to understand where the mention is and what it's of. These are ones that accompanied Paul. And again, I remind you, Paul took with him those that he was certain would be useful in the ministry. And so we have several here, Sopater of Berea, Aristarchus of Secundus of Thessalonia, Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus, and then of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. And so these men were men that were helpful to Paul, and of course of interest to us is that Timothy is named among these men. I want to read a couple more things now in the book of 1 Thessalonians, because Paul, we saw where Paul sent Timothy, but I want to read something here in 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter. This will sound familiar a little bit now that we've read something in Acts, and I encourage you, like I said, to read the book of Acts there. There's a lot of information in there. I just didn't think we should spend a lot of time on it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Sound familiar, Paul at Athens? And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Isn't this interesting statement about Timothy here? Paul sent Timothy. Now, again, we don't know Timothy's age. All we know is that he was a young man. And Paul had the confidence to send Timothy to this place and for a purpose. And first of all, he gives Timothy credentials. And this is kind of important, I think. Our brother, minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. That is Timothy's credentials to be sent to this place. Paul obviously felt like Timothy was certainly a great help to him in the ministry of the gospel. And he sent Timothy for a purpose, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. He says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Because the brethren in Thessalonica, they would have known that Paul was going to be attacked, if you will, or in trouble in Athens. So he wanted to make sure that the brethren knew that they were okay and not be moved by their afflictions. Also, since we're here, let's just go down a little further here. Verse 5 says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, and we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. And so Timothy went to this place, as Paul had sent him, to minister to these saints, and came back to Paul with a report about these saints. And so certainly what we know about Timothy, as I said, there's a lot of things, you know, might be interesting to know about Timothy. But what we do know is that he was a young man who had a heart for the Lord and who was seriously a help to Paul in the ministry. And so I'm going to go back now to the 1 Timothy, the first chapter. I want to notice, Paul starts this letter similar to the way he starts all of his letters. The first part of this letter starts with Paul's credentials. And it's important that we recognize Paul's credentials. And so he starts this out, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior. Now, I was thinking about this. Paul's writing a letter to a young man, Timothy, with whom he seems to have a fairly close relationship. And you wouldn't think this is how you would start a letter to someone like that. You'd think it'd be a little bit more personal. And I was thinking, why would he do this? And it occurs to me that we have to remember that the Holy Spirit caused Paul to write what he wrote. And the Holy Spirit knew that we were going to read this letter and that we needed this letter to be like this. And so I'm always reminded of the importance of the Holy Spirit bringing what needs to be brought and putting things in the right order. So he starts out, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. By the commandment. Now, in many of the letters that Paul writes, he starts out, Paul, an apostle, and he says, by the will of God. Here, this is a little stronger statement, by the commandment of God. And I want to notice a couple of things that Paul has to say, or that happened to Paul, I should say. Let's go, and you know these, but let's go look at them. Again, we're going to go back to Acts. I told you we spent a lot of time there today. The 9th chapter this time. This, of course, is a chapter where Paul is on the road to Damascus. And when Paul is, he's been blinded, if you will, on the way to Damascus, and he's in a house, and he's awaiting. And God speaks to a man named Ananias. And again, I want to take a small tangent here, but here's another thing. A man named Ananias. We just don't know very much about him, but God spoke to him and sent him on a mission. And the interesting thing about Ananias, he's, even though he was a little reluctant at first because he knew the name, he did what God told him to do. To me, those are interesting things about people in the scripture. There's a reason that they're put there. Verse 15 of this chapter 9. This is the Lord speaking to Ananias again. The Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So God's statement to Ananias here about Paul, he is a chosen vessel unto me. God has made the selection, and Paul is the one. Now let's go to the 26th chapter of Acts. And in this chapter, we find Paul before King Agrippa, and Paul gives his testimony to King Agrippa. And it's interesting what Paul says. I'm going to read from verse 14 of Acts 26. Again, remember, Paul before King Agrippa here, he's given his testimony. He says, when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. That's an interesting thing too, by the way. You can think about that. But God speaks in the language that we understand. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This, when you read this, this is Paul's recollection, if you will, of what happened to him and what the Lord said to him. And importantly here is, Jesus says to Paul, to make thee a witness, a minister and a witness, both of these things. Paul considered this to be his necessity. He says that in Corinthians, he says, necessity is laid upon me. Some might say, well, it seemed like maybe it was optional for Paul to go minister. And in reality, you probably could say it probably was. I mean, Paul could have refused and rejected. But God has a way of doing what he needs to do. But more importantly, Paul accepted and went. Even though he knew that it was going to bring suffering. And so Paul was chosen by God. This is the important part to take out of here, by the way, for our lesson this morning. Paul was chosen by God to be an apostle, to go to the Gentiles. The Lord revealed some things to Paul that he had not revealed yet to anyone previously. And so Paul has credentials. And these credentials are important because if then it is true that God chose him, then the things that he has for us are important to us. And so back in our chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. These are great credentials. Nothing better. You know, there have been many, many down throughout the ages who have chosen themselves to become ministers. That's always a failing proposition. It never works out well. I've known a couple myself that they just wanted to be ministers, but God really had not called them to that place. And it was a great failure. But Paul was called and chosen by God and set on this course and given something important for us. And so when we read the letters that Paul writes, these epistles that Paul writes, there is valuable instruction for us. And this is what we're going to find in this epistle. As he writes to, as he says in verse 2, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. I don't have time to get into verse 2 this morning, I can tell you, but I do want to say most translations, and if you look at the word my own, which is here, and you look at the Greek version of it, it speaks of being a true son. So some translations have this as unto Timothy, my true son in the faith. The intent of the word, it indicates sincerity. And I think this is what Paul's trying to get across. Timothy, Paul refers to him as his son in the faith. And here he speaks about being a truer sincere. And I think Paul is very encouraged by Timothy's sincerity and trueness. I want to notice a couple other things. Paul uses this thought about sons in other places. So I'm going to just mention this a little bit. In 1 Corinthians 4:14, he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Paul speaks to different ones as though they were his children, because spiritually speaking, he was the one that was bringing them up, if you will. And in a sense, you might say that we're sons of Paul, in a sense, because we're reading his epistles and being instructed by them. In 1 Thessalonians 2:11, I'm not going to turn there, but he says, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children." So again, the thought there about these ones being children that Paul has a great care for them. And then one other place that I wrote down, which is Titus. And as we go along here, I'm going to mention Titus a little bit, because there's a little bit of there's some similarities in Paul's writing here. But he says in Titus 1:4, "To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith." And so again, he mentions that thought there. And so the thought that Paul has here about Timothy is what we've seen about Timothy, which is Timothy is a young man whose faith was obvious and noted, and who had a good testimony of them around about him. And Paul recognized that Timothy would be useful and helpful in the ministry, and so he took him into the ministry. And so as we read this and study this letter, this epistle that Paul writes to Timothy, there's two of them. We're going to go through first and then second. But as we go through here, I want us to keep in mind this thought that this is like a letter written from a father to a child. Encouragement and exhortation, instruction, things that are very valuable and important for us. And so we want to keep those in mind as we go through here, and take them in the same way, as though they were being written for us, because indeed they were written for us. This is why the Holy Spirit caused Paul to write the way he does. I'm going to quit this morning because I don't have time to really get started in the second verse of this book. Are there any other comments this morning or questions? I've always been so encouraged by these two letters. And I think, especially for the young people, I've always thought how encouraging it is to read these, to recognize that there was a young man. And by the way, in the book of Acts, there are several young men. And for the young people, it's a good thing, but to think about several young men, young people who were very much given to the gospel. And Timothy was one of them. And like I said, we don't know how young he was, but it appears that he was young enough that he might possibly not be taken seriously by some. That's Paul, we'll get into that as we read through here. So he must have been quite young. And yet, the other things we're going to learn about Timothy, and I didn't read those this morning, but he knew the scriptures. He knew the scriptures. Again, thanks to his grandmother and his mother, he knew the scriptures. And he had a great love for ministering the gospel. Let's stand.